Welcome to the Redneck Dentist Podcast. I am Doc Mike, host of the podcast. A series of Forrest Gump-like events have brought me to where I am, a small-town country dentist. My experiences in country living, country freedom, country dentistry, and my reaction to pertinent current events may help you live a life of more freedom and less worry. Thank you for choosing the Redneck Dentist Podcast. Now let's get to today's freedom-inspiring episode. Hey, this is Doc Mike, the Redneck Dentist. Thank you for joining me live. If anybody's listening live, I'm an hour late, and I'm going to explain why in just a minute. I'm going to make sure everything is running, and I think it is. The mic's going out. I got a signal everywhere, so that's all good. I got to open up my notes for today, and let's get started. Man, it's been a crazy freaking day. Oh, my goodness. Actually, it's been going on for more than a day, though, so that's part of the problem. All right, where's my notes? Here we are. Okay, this is the fastest hour on Real Liberty Media, and I don't turn left. I'm just a guy having fun making light of the darkness, although today I got a lot of fun stuff to talk about. And hey, could you all, if you're on a social media network, I wouldn't blame you if you're not, but if you are on one, would you please post that we're live? And also post that people can catch a podcast. If you're listening to the podcast, share that with your friends and family. And let's grow this Real Liberty Media site. Tomorrow, Sundays, you can always catch Hal Anthony behind the woodshed at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. And I highly recommend you listen to his show. He's amazing. 2 hours. Great talk, no commercials, no interruptions. He doesn't drink. I don't know how he does it. It's awesome listening to him. So if you could do that, that'd be great. I got to do something here for 1 second. Just hang on. Okay, back at it. Now listen, this is so crazy. A few days ago, I didn't notice because I use the wired portion of our network here at home, but I was told that there was some Wi-Fi issues going on. It was probably about a week ago. So I kind of started watching the Wi-Fi in the house here, and sure enough, the 2.4 gig, I don't know what it is, the two gig part of the network would just like disconnect for no reason whatsoever that I could tell. And as the days went on, it just got worse and worse to where it would only connect once in a while, and then it would be disconnected most of the time. So people with phones and tablets and laptops and whatever in the house here, and the TVs, some of the TVs are Wi-Fi only. They're not connected to a Ethernet cable, they would just quit working. They would just lose signal and quit working. Well, so I had thought a few months ago, I thought, you know, maybe it's time I upgrade the technology of the Wi-Fi here, and I was thinking about buying a router, and then for whatever reason, I just didn't do it because, of course, it was working fine. So when I finally decided that this one was quitting, I ordered a new router, and it was supposed to be here Sunday. Well, you know how this goes. So instead of it arriving Sunday, it arrived at 5 o'clock Pacific time, my time here in Oregon. And I thought, this is only going to take a couple minutes to set up. And so I broke it out of the box. I went to set it up, and there was an issue. And the issue was operator error. I'm a complete idiot at sometimes at some things, which you wouldn't, you know, it's one of those things where I think you're so confident that you miss something really simple. And here's what I missed. All the cables that were plugged into the old Wi-Fi router, I unplugged them, and I plugged them in, you know, diligently following the plug-in order that was on the old router, all except for one problem. I made the assumption that this Ethernet cable coming out of the wall was the internet provider cable that goes in the router, and it wasn't. The internet provider cable comes out of a little modem that's hidden behind a cabinet under my desk here. So I had them plugged in the wrong way, and I'm trying to get the dang new router working, and of course it's not working. So then I plugged the old router back in, and I guess because I had disconnected it, finally, when I plugged it back in, it wouldn't work at all either. Anyway, so I, you know, then I decided, okay, well, you know, it's important for everybody in the house to have access to Wi-Fi, so I'll get the Wi-Fi hooked up, and then if there's time, I'll do a show. And that's what happened. So the now people who are listening to the podcast, you're going to get the podcast. It's going to be like normal. But people who are listening live, I'm an hour late. Probably people moved on to something else. That's how it is these days, and that's perfectly fine. You know, I'm that way. Like, I'll sit around for a couple minutes, but man, you, there's a couple people who, I don't know why, but they start their show with no sound, which I guess is maybe smart. I don't know, but they start it and they just have a like my startup screen. If you watch the video, I have a you know, please stand by screen. It's hot pink. And, but usually I have my intro playing, so you're not listening to just dead air. But so there's two shows I can think of right off the bat, but I'm not going to mention them because I'm not being critical of them. But, you know, so they have dead air for, you know, the first couple minutes of their show when you, if you don't listen to it live, or maybe, I don't know, maybe if you listen to it live, it takes them a couple minutes too. But, yeah, if it goes on for more than like 2.5-3 minutes, I'm out. I'm moving on to something else, and I'll come back to it later. Yeah, I guess I could skip forward, and it's just a little bit irritating. But anyway, let's see, where are we going to go today? One thing I really did want to talk about, I thought this was really important to talk about, especially this time of year for those of us who live in the Northern Hemisphere. You know, we're experiencing these really short daylight hours, you know. The days are still the same length of time, but we're losing daylight. And I used to, you know, in my lifetime, it seems like they came up with this diagnosis of seasonal affective disorder. And then for a while, I kind of believed that I had seasonal affective disorder. But being a biologist and being a, I don't know, somebody who, like, thinks about stuff, I started thinking about this, and I want to say before I go on, if you have depression of any kind, you know, seek some help, either from friends or professionals, whatever it takes. But I wanted to talk a little bit about this seasonal affective disorder and how I put it kind of in perspective in my own life. Because, yeah, there was a time, man, when as the days got shorter, I just got more tired and I just wanted to sleep more often or take a nap like at 5 o'clock in the afternoon or evening and, you know, sleep for an hour or two and then get up and do stuff and then go to bed at whatever time. And, yeah, and I felt like I was being dragged down a bit, but I started giving it some thought several years ago. And no, I never sought treatment for depression or anything like that. But I started thinking about how humans actually evolved with time, of course, with seasons, of course. And think about this, you know, I mean, we've only been in the industrial era for, what, a couple hundred years, something like that. So we didn't have artificial light all the time. I mean, yeah, we had torches, I guess, Or there were always candles, you know, it seems like there was always some kind of little lighting device since we discovered fire. By the way, this is going to be a little bit of a side. But the other day I was thinking, how in the heck did man enter the Bronze Age? And I went in search of some information about that. I know what defines the Bronze Age, but I was thinking, who was the first guy? You know, it's like, who was the first person to eat an orange or, you know, some object off a tree and we just decided, hey, we're going to try this out and see what this tastes like. Like, who was the first guy who decided to mix tin with copper and make iron, bronze? Pretty crazy. I really wish I knew. There's some theories out there about people using different, having campfires. Of course, it takes a lot of heat, like a lot more heat than is in a campfire to actually create bronze or to, you know, smelt copper and tin into bronze. But yeah, it would be cool to know just exactly how and when that started. You know, and it hasn't really been that long ago. It's like 5,000 years ago. It hasn't been like 20,000 years or 50,000 years. It was like 5,000 years ago, which I think in, you know, human history is not very long for sure. But man, did it make a huge difference in, you know, how we progress through life and how we evolved and how civilizations have come about. And of course, warring and all that other stuff. But imagine, you know, we really haven't had all this technology for lighting, electric lighting to live in daylight when it would usually be dark. And I don't know that humans have evolved emotionally as fast as we have evolved technologically. And what I'm saying by that is, we, just imagine, so 200 years ago, okay, you probably had torches, you might have had oil lamps, might have had candles, but, you know, you worked, so from, let's say, from late winter, early spring, you started working to produce food for the year, right? So it wasn't like you went out and planted your little garden that you could walk out and enjoy. It was like, you know, you had to put food in the ground and grow some crops to survive. And you started that in early spring, late winter, and you did that for 9 months, basically, or however long the growing season is where you live. So you would go from spring to summer to fall until harvest time, and you know, you had to harvest things and you know, put them up, like put them in, preserve them. You know, you had to get stuff either canned or put it in root cellars or process it in some way, you know, smoking meat or drying meat or whatever. So you had this long season of work, and you just worked away for, you know, all the hours of the day that was required to get your crops, you know, to harvest, and then to harvest the crops, and then to process the food into whatever. I mean, people grew grain. We're thinking about growing some wheat and some other grains this year. We're going to buy a milling machine to turn grain into flour. And I think we're going to grow our own grain. Wheat, maybe buckwheat, wheat. I don't know. Crystal has some ideas what she'd like to grow so that we could harvest and make our own flour. But, so just imagine all of the work that went into, you know, just getting your food ready for the year. And maybe, I mean, sure, there were cities, there were towns, there were huge villages. And yeah, there were always markets. So you could, you know, maybe barter some of what you had for some other foods. But mostly, you know, it was a hard life. It wasn't like this 8-to-5 business that we're used to today. So when I say that we didn't emotionally evolve as rapidly as we've technologically evolved. What I'm saying is, so here we are at this point in life where you can just go to the store and buy all your stuff and, you know, put it in the freezer, put it in the refrigerator, put it in the pantry, and, you know, that's it. It's not like you worked 9 months to get food to survive the winter. And then winter comes and, you know, just think of, like I'm saying, 200 years ago, 300 years ago, you know, after 9 months of work and it starts getting dark, it's like, okay, man, I'm going to rest after all that work. I'm going to rest. And your body probably, I mean, just being in like a circadian rhythm and being, I kind of want to say diurnal, where, you know, you have daylight and darkness. It's like dark. It's time to sleep, man. And if there's, you know, 17 hours of darkness, then you're going to sleep or rest, you know, at the very least. I mean, it's not like you could light up the, you know, the barn right now. You could just, you know, turn on the electric lights and go down and, or the garage, let's say, and work on your car or work on some project. I mean, you were working by candlelight. I mean, I'm sure probably like sewing and knitting and, you know, patching up clothes and all that stuff was, you know, was probably kind of tedious. You know, it's not like you had torches all over the place and lit up a room like we do now. I mean, I'm sitting in a room now with, what, 6 ceiling lights that are dimmable. I can turn the light up and down, or, you know, adjust the intensity of the light. You know, you had probably a candle or a torch or, you know, a few little, you know, items to light your house. And I mean, you know, it was probably also expensive to have candles or to have oil, unless you actually grew some crops that you could make oil out of, like hemp or olives, or I don't know, you know, there's a lot of crops that you can make oil from, you know, safflower, sunflower, canola. I don't know where all these oils come from, but I mean, just imagine all the work that went into getting that oil. I'm sure you're not just going to sit around like we do now and watch, you know, I'm watching the Ducks play, college football. And so I have the TV on, I have the lights on, I'm kicking it on the computer, doing a show, I got multiple tabs open, you know, I'm using electricity like crazy. But I mean, back then you wouldn't have had like all that lighting ability, and you wouldn't have wasted it, you know, just so you could sit up and, I don't know, read a book or something. Well, probably some people did, but they probably, like I said, had one little torch or one little candle. And he sat there and read until, you know, they were tired and ready to go to bed. So the seasonal affective disorder is actually kind of, to me, a biological response to, you know, the daylight cycle of life and seasons. And yeah, you know, you worked your butt off for 9 months. It's time to rest and recover and get rebooted, ready for the next season. I mean, here we are, you know, we don't have all of the food processed from this season. I was just in the garden today because the neighbor's goats got in the garden, which was actually kind of cool because it's time to clean it up anyway. So they're in there eating away, you know, all the scraps and silage that's left on the ground, and, you know, and they're pooping and peeing in there. So we're getting some fertilizer. That's good. But we have some winter squashes that we still need to haul out of there. We have a freezer full of tomatoes that we're going to have to process real soon. Before we're done with this season's food. So here it is, November 12th. And, you know, the daylight is... The daylight hours are getting shorter, and here we are still have food to process. So, you know, the amount of rest time to get ready for next season. And we're already talking about, what are we going to do next season? What was successful this year that we could maximize next year? and then thinking about planting additional crops like wheat. And where are we going to do that, and how are we going to do that, and you know, what would be the best plant to you know, to try and grow here so that we can make our own flour. And I'm kind of excited about that. Let me tell you something. So in the past 2 weeks, I'm not kidding, I haven't had the same meal in the last 2 weeks. We haven't repeated a meal. We have my wife, Rochelle, my daughter, Crystal, and a friend, Whitney, who are awesome, like incredible cooks. And they're always looking for something new to try that, you know, they kind of play it in their mind, like, you know, would this be appealing to everybody or most everybody, or should we just try it and see? And we've had some fantastic food. And yesterday, Crystal made marinara from our tomatoes. And it was fantastic. And I know everybody isn't able to experience this, but I'm sharing it with you because it's so incredible to grow your own food and then make something that you would generally buy at the store and experience it fresh, like fresh out of the garden, fresh, you know, freshly cooked, freshly hot, just delicious food. And we had meatballs with it. I think they were turkey meatballs, which was fine. Fantastic food anyway. Yeah, but it's just incredible, you know, to have the opportunity to grow and eat your own food in whatever form it ends up being in. Just knowing that you took the time to get that food to harvest and then harvested it and ate it is a great experience. Even if you do it on a really small scale, it's a fantastic experience. We have a lot of food hanging around, like I said, that needs to be processed, and I'm really excited about getting that out of the way. I mean, hell, it's almost Thanksgiving. So the other main thing I wanted to talk about, well, so number one is the seasonal affective disorder thing. You know, like I said, if you suffer from depression, it's not a joke. Take care of it. You know, get seen, talk to friends, talk to professionals, whatever it is you need to do to get better, because life is short and you should be having a good time. And I wanted to talk about that next, is having a good time. Like, what do you do to enjoy your time? Now, everybody is different, trust me. Like, we're going to have, I found out today, we're going to have a Friendsgiving next Saturday. And the Friendsgiving, I've been told, is like Thanksgiving, but just having friends over, however many friends, share some time together, play some games, eat some food, you know, just do whatever to have fun. Now, for everybody, that's not going to be the thing that they think is fun. But I wanted to tell you, like just today, Rochelle and I had to go to town to get, you know, we go to town like once a week, and but this time we wanted to get some more wood pellets because we're thinking we're going to need another ton to get us through the winter. So we got a ton of pellets. We went to the airport and got some Jet A fuel, which is basically kerosene for kerosene heaters in case power goes out and we want to heat up the house. We can use that indoors. And one of the places we stopped at to get the wood pellets, there was a sandhill crane just flying above us, just circling this huge parking lot of the co-op we go to. It's called Wilco. It's a co-op here in the Northwest. W-I-L-C-O, Wilco. It's like Fleet Farm in some other parts of the country, the Midwest mostly. But anyway, so this sandhill crane is just flying above us, maybe 500 feet. So you could see it clearly. And I mean, sandhill cranes are huge birds. And they don't fly fast or, you know, erratically. They just have this beautiful, graceful, you know, gliding, swooping flight to them. And we actually just stood and watched this crane, and we were just questioning, why is it just circling there? And who cares? It was just circling there right directly above us. And the day was kind of a cloudy but sunny blue sky mix, you know, so it wasn't like hard to watch them. It wasn't like the sun so bright that you couldn't watch, or the heat so intense you didn't want to stand. It was just like perfect temperature and perfect, the whole entire scene was perfect. I mean, except that we're standing in a asphalt parking lot. But still, I mean, just to be able to stand there and watch this beautiful bird just cruising around above us, it was fun. It was enjoyable. It was, I think, good for our heart and soul to just sit there and share a moment with nature, you know, that kind of took our minds away from what we were. I mean, just think what we were doing. We were actually trying to get things that we need to survive the winter, you know, wood pellets and kerosene, and we're just enjoying this moment together. We both are bird watchers. We both really enjoy nature in all its forms, and it was just so nice to just have that moment of like peace and quiet and beauty and, you know, wonder. So find some things that make you feel good, right? Like gathering medicinal plants, I think, is another thing that we like to do. Man, we've had such incredible fortune here at Ravenwood to have these plants grow, whether we had anything to do with it or not, which a lot of the medicinal plants, we didn't go out and buy them and plant them in the ground. They've kind of shown up here, and we just, you know, identify them a little bit at a time. As a matter of fact, when we were looking today, the last couple of days, at what kind of grain we're gonna plant to make flour from, we actually identified some things here on the property that you can actually make flour from their seeds. So we don't. I mean, it's, you can kind of tell. It's kind of a surprise and a good feeling to know, hey, we already have some stuff here. I mean, it's not growing in the amounts that we would be able to make a loaf of bread. But now that we know that it's here, how do we cultivate that? How do we keep that going? How do we kind of make a place for it if it's a weed? How do we make a place for it so that so that we can produce more of that grain and, you know, harvest it and use it. You know, riding my motorcycle to work makes me feel good. It's getting to the point where I'm not going to be able to do that as much because the road's going to be slick and I really can't afford to take a spill and, you know, be out of work. I mean, some people depend on me to work so that they can work and make money. So I try and take care of myself. And by the way, just as an aside, I have been riding at home now, riding and doing the treadmill at home. I feel great. My pants no longer stay up where I'd like them to. The belt is on the last hole. I'm going to have to do something, probably order more jeans or order a smaller belt or something like that. But, you know, I mean, you know, I had a heart attack in August, and here it is, November. Everything's going really good. Things are just going great. And I'm grateful for everything I've experienced in life to this point. So kind of goes back to riding a motorcycle to work. You know, I'm going to do it when I can be safe and sound and, you know, allow other people to work and collect paychecks while I'm there. You know, because I'm not always going to be there. I mean, getting to that point, man, it's getting to that point where we got to find some more dentists to fill the void. But let's, you know, back to having fun. And, you know, I got off on a tangent there. But really, especially the way life is going right now, I think there's so many assaults on us to not have fun. There's so much pressure on us to not have fun. You know, people, powers, trying to rob you of freedoms and liberty and happiness in one way or another. And, you know, while they're at it, you just have to find the time and the space to do what makes you feel good. When I'm working out, I like to put the headphones in and I like to sing when I'm working out. I have a terrible voice, I'm sure. I don't care. I just like to hear the music and sing along with it and enjoy it. Sometimes, you know, when I'm prepping for the show, I have the music going, listen to the music. I like to listen to a show when I go to bed. I don't last very long, a couple minutes, but there's some people I like to listen to as I'm going to sleep because they have really interesting things to say and, like to ponder on them in my sleep or whatever. Playing with the dogs or playing with the cat or playing with the grandkids, doing something, you know, outside. Like I put the drone up, to take a look around. There was so nearby, I'm not kidding, really close by today, there's tree farms all around us, Christmas tree farms. And, they harvest with a helicopter. So I hear this helicopter is really close, and I'm thinking, man, I really want to put the drone up and have a look. But it was just cloudy enough and hazy enough at that time in the morning when they were really getting after it that I was like, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm like, oh, wait, they're going to be here for a month harvesting these Christmas trees, and I'll take some time out to you know, put the drone up and have a look at them. I'll stay out of their way. Of course, I'm not going to get close to them or anything like that. But to put the drone up and just go find that, because you can't see that helicopter. He's, what, probably one hill away, and he's up and down harvesting Christmas trees. He hauls them over to a loading zone or drops them in a truck, and off they go. So they're very busy. I mean, just back and forth by the time you know, he gets one load dropped off, he swings back up there, and they have another bunch of trees ready to go on the helicopter. So it's pretty cool to watch. And I mean, all of that stuff. I mean, just enjoying a sunset or going to the beach or going on a walk. Whatever it is, man, I really encourage you to take some time to enjoy life. Don't let all of the noise, you know, get you down, because it would be easy to succumb to everything that has gone on in the past few weeks, for sure. And I don't know if I'm really going to get into any of that stuff. I have a bajillion things I'd like to talk about, but what I really wanted to talk about today was kind of just taking a breath, you know, finding some peace and quiet in your life and enjoyment, whatever that is. Because, you know, there's a lot of stuff that we just don't have any control of whatsoever. And the stuff that we can control, that's where we can find some joy in our lives. I wanted to share a really crazy story with you. I have done a podcast in the past. I did it on Blog Talk Radio. I don't know if anybody remembers Blog Talk Radio, but I do. And it was a fun time. It was really kind of a good time. And I can't even remember how long ago it was, but it had to have been It had to have been somewhere near 20 years ago. I'm pretty sure. Well, I could be wrong. Maybe it's 15. It's been a long time since I was on Blog Talk Radio. And yeah, I'm not, I don't remember when I stopped. Oh, I know why I stopped doing Blog Talk Radio is because they wanted everybody to start paying for the service, and it was free for a time, I think it was free, and you could do, like, I don't know, an hour, you could do unlimited amount of time. But then as it got more and more popular, they, you know, started requiring more money or some money, and it just got to be like, okay, well, I was doing it for fun, so I'm not going to pay for it. And there was a bunch of us that left at that time. And I think they kind of picked certain people that they wanted to keep on there, and others they didn't provide so much support for. So anyway, but this is what is crazy. I started working on a WordPress site of my own, and I'll explain briefly why I did that. So Real Liberty Media is going through a change, and we are gonna have a new website developed, or there's going to be a new website developed, and I wanted to be able to help out in some way if I could. Well, I didn't really know WordPress at all, but it's kind of like WordPress is sort of a standard now for developing websites, I think, for especially people who are just going to do it themselves. So I created redneckdentist.com on WordPress, and I started, like, don't go and look, okay? I mean, seriously, it is really in its infancy. So there's nothing really to see there, okay? And there's probably stuff you're going to see there that I didn't even do because I haven't figured out how to get rid of some of the basic templates first. But this is what is crazy. So I linked it to, I think, make a post to Facebook or Twitter or both. And this is what happened. Somebody came on my site and commented, right? And that somebody is somebody from the Blog Talk Radio days. And she was a regular, like whenever we did a show, there were two shows. I think that, I remember I did a show called Left Coast Radio. And, but the crew that I listened to was Do the Right Thing Radio. And that was a Christian broadcast. And there was, you know, a lot of Christians in that show. And there was a chat room, and you could, you know, you could get on there, and just like this, you could get on and listen to the podcast and actually interact with, you know, anybody who was listening. So that was really cool. Well, this person who commented on my WordPress site was an old participant in Blog Talk Radio. And it was really funny. She said something like, it's nice to see that some of us are still around. And I was like, God, no kidding, man. Because, you know, I mean, you go different ways. But what an awesome opportunity, too, by the way, that the internet exists, so that we can all, you know, be a part of it, like find each other through years of not having any contact. And you know what? This is funny too. Like, I've noticed her a few times on, making a Twitter post or Facebook or I don't know where, because as it turns out, like, she's been banned from Twitter and Facebook, I think. And of course, my other Twitter account was banned. Now, the one she found me on is one that got reactivated once Elon Musk took over. So I think, but anyway, it was just wild that somebody from that long ago and I could hook up, you know, virtually on the internet and kind of make a connection again. And, you know, it's a good feeling. It's just a good feeling to know that, you know, a friend, like, I've never met her, you know, internet kind of personality is all I know, but she's awesome, I got to tell you that. And after I get her permission, I will promote her site here. But if you go to my site, redneckdentist.com, you can probably see her comments and then click on her name and go visit her site. And man, she is very busy. And I asked her today through her site if she had any advice or tips for me as I'm starting off this venture of creating a WordPress site. And yeah, we'll see what she has to say. But I'm just looking forward to it. And now it's kind of stressful that somebody actually found my site and, you know, we'll be looking at it. Now I have to get my act together and through doing my site, figure out what we're going to do over on Real Liberty Media. And I'm not the only one working on Real Liberty Media, thank goodness. In fact, I'm not even working on Real Liberty Media yet. But, if I can, and I am, you know, if I can contribute in some helpful way, I will certainly do that. Let's open the notes and see what I actually had to talk about today. And maybe we won't even get into this, you know, news stuff, because sometimes it's just so dang aggravating that it really drives me crazy. But the next show, I'm definitely going to get into some, you know, back into, hopefully not so much politics, but just information to help you be healthy, like I'm the expert, but help you live a healthy, happy life and do things that are good for you. I'm just like so amazingly blessed, and honestly, I can't explain just I don't know how to. I don't know how it happened that we ended up with such a great small family, group of people that work together so dang well and have the same goals in mind, I think, the same ideas for where we're going in this life, in this time period that we're sharing together right now. But yeah, it's amazing. It is amazing. It's far more than I deserve, I can tell you that. What else is going on? I closed the notes already. I saw stuff I didn't want to talk about. Well, if I didn't say so in the beginning, now that it's been like, I think, 1 week that we've been in the new time change, I hate it. I hate it both ways. I hate it when we spring ahead. I hate it when we fall back. I hate the whole idea. Just, and I think I said that last week too. It's not my favorite. Wish they'd leave it alone. Oh, I did notice. Oh yeah, of course. So Hurricane Nicole hit Florida, which I was. Of course, I was watching the clowns on the Weather Channel. And this time, I'm not kidding, this time was even kind of the best, stupidest coverage. And I love the Weather Channel, please don't get me wrong. But come on, man. So they're standing out basically on the beach, as close to the beach as they could be, I guess, in their opinion, safely. But they're watching a structure literally right across the street get undermined by the incoming waves, and the pylons are getting undermined, and the structure finally, like they're watching it over hours and hours, and then finally the structure collapses, and they're all like, "Yeah, be careful," you know, the guy who's talking to the cameraman is like, "Yeah, be careful, watch out, watch out." I mean, they weren't that close, but I mean, here's the deal. Yeah, I get that they got to get their coverage, but man, you shouldn't be, You know, it's just so ridiculous to me that they tell everybody to stay out of these unsafe places, and then they go and they're doing unsafe things, capturing it on camera, so you know, we can watch it and see how horrific it is, I guess. I don't know. All right. I think I ran out of I ran out of fun stuff to talk about, so we're going to talk about the most fun stuff on my list. Hey, there's a meteor shower right now, by the way. The Leonids, I think. Yeah, I think it's the Leonids in November. So if you have some clear sky, which we don't, but if you do have some clear skies above you, you know, go out and just lay outside or sit outside, stare up into the sky. You know, if you have a little app or just, you know, search the internet, it'll tell you what direction to look from where you're at so you can see where these meteorites originate from. And who knows, maybe you'll see some kind of look for satellites, watch for airplanes. I mean, really, there's a lot of stuff you can do. You know, just sitting outside looking at the sky. I know in some places it's freezing cold and you probably don't want to sit out there for long, but you know, take a moment, see if you see something. You know, we get the 10 minutes, I mean 15 minutes in the hot tub every day, morning and night. In the morning, it's light when we go out together. I go out at 5:30 in the morning when I'm working. So, there, you know, it's still good viewing time if there's no clouds. Now, this week is another one of those weeks here in Oregon. I'm telling you, this is the craziest weather season I've seen, and I don't know how long. Maybe my entire life here in Oregon, that we're having this long stretch of boring blue sky, sunny weather. But, you know, am I really going to complain? I don't know. I shouldn't really, because maybe then it's going to become some horrible winter that, you know. 3 feet of snow or something. We had that one time, I think in 2008 or something like that. It could be like that. I don't know. But, whatever it is, you know, I can't change that. So I might as well just enjoy what I have. What I want to talk about, Twitter advertisers, no. Elon Musk, no. Lab origin. Oh, here you go. I did want to correct this because I said this about, I don't know, a few weeks ago, but I said it's like one in a million chance that COVID-19 had a natural origin, but it's actually one in 100 million chance. So that's an incredible amount, the possibility that COVID naturally occurred. Everybody knows it didn't. I think everybody who isn't completely brainwashed by the mainstream media knows that COVID was created in a lab. And hey, if you don't know that, now you do. It was created in a lab. One in 100 million chance that it occurred naturally. Now, come on. Just can't be that it occurred naturally. What else did I want to say? Something came in my mind right when I was saying that. Natural origin, one in a million chance. But the other thing I did want to kind of talk about is this whole, just briefly, we're going to talk about politics for a minute. Because I think the one thing that really pissed me off this week, it has nothing to do with who won and who didn't win. What really pissed me off was seeing that the courts that found that Biden's student loan repayment was illegal, is kind of not coincidental that they waited until after Tuesday to make that announcement. Like everybody knew, I shouldn't say that. Everybody who has their eyes open knew that that was illegal and he wasn't going to be able to do it. But of course, it had to go to court because, you know, we're just not smart enough not to waste time and money on, you know, court procedures when something is obviously illegal and most, you know, law school graduates would be able to look at it and say, yeah, you know, that's illegal, you can't do it. No, we got to go through the whole court system, have somebody file and, you know, and then announce it the day after elections, right? Like, I don't know if it would have changed anything, but I kind of think and feel strongly that the people that affected would have said, oh, really? You're not going to give us our 10 grand? Well, screw you. I'm voting for somebody else. And just anybody else, right? So, I don't know. Hey, I do want to tell you something that's crazy that kind of came up here in Oregon. So, Oregon being absolutely full of retards, complete political morons, and freedom haters also, like freedom haters here. Most of the people in Oregon, I think, would love to be enslaved or continue to be enslaved, be on the government dole, get their little hand out and be limited in what they can get for health care, what they can get for dental care, what they can get, you know, the amount of money that they get each month, you know, for food or whatever. I mean, they're perfectly happy living that life, and so they keep voting exactly to stay in exactly the same position. Like I said before this election, what the candidates in Oregon ran on was reducing the prices of things and reducing the cost of services instead of uplifting and promoting human beings into a better working environment and to higher wage jobs. They're not, the politicians here, the left, is not interested in doing any of that. As a matter of fact, the main focus while they were running their campaigns was the homeless population in Oregon and how we're going to deal with that. So that's about 2,000 to 4,000 people in the Portland area. And it's going to continue to grow because all they do is just throw more freaking money at it. Oh, I have another story to get to. Let me get done with the one thing that happened good. Okay, so Oregon voted to basically ban your ability to buy a firearm. What they did was they passed a law that you had to ask for a permit to buy a firearm. So it's, and to get that permit, well, you had to request it, but then you have to go take a course, supposedly that would be offered by law enforcement. They don't say what law enforcement, just some law enforcement. Law enforcement hasn't been given the money to create and promote and staff that class or anything like that. So basically, you know, the first step is request the permit. They can just say no right off the bat. Or any way along the way, they can just say no. You can't get the course. There's no course offered. Anyway, it was a complete way to ban people from buying guns in Oregon. But this is what is happening. So sheriffs in all these different areas where people overwhelmingly voted against that bill, the sheriffs are not going to enforce the law. They've come out publicly and said, listen, we're not going to enforce this law. Like the people in such and such a county voted 70% against this law, and we are not going to enforce it, which the sheriffs would be the ones that have to enforce it. And if you listen to my past show, one or two shows ago, I talked about the whole gun grab thing and how it's just the first step to getting your guns. And I think in that show I had something that said, do you have enough guns, right? So that's actually a good thing that we have sheriffs in several counties in Oregon that are just, you know, giving the bird to whoever thinks they're going to enforce that law, because the sheriffs are not going to. Some of them. I'm sure in Portland the sheriff will do whatever he's told, or she, because they don't have any choice, or they don't have the willpower to stand up against it. And hopefully this law will be, you know, shut down in Supreme Court in about 7 to 10 years when they get around to hearing it. In the meantime, we just play the game. Okay, I wanted you to see this. And by see, I mean, oh, actually, I want you to see two things. I got to find this. Oh, yeah. So I want you to just look at this. I just want you to look at this picture. When you look at the video, if you get to see the video, I just want you to, no, that's not it. Where is he? Oh, here it is. Yeah, sorry. Wrong tab. Look at this guy. Does he look sane? I got a picture of Biden up here. He just looks, I'll leave it up to you. He just looks senile, honestly. Okay, so yeah, that's him. I wanted to bring this up. This is the craziest thing I saw. And of course, I was very proud that Portland made this list. So the Daily Mail put out a story. It says Mexico uses footage of homeless people and drug addicts from Philadelphia in ads to scare young people away from substance abuse. Okay, so here's what's happening. Is Mexico is using the United States as an example of drug abuse that's gotten out of control. And what's worse is they have pictures of people. Let me see. I want to see if this is. Yeah. You can see it on my screen. When you get to look at the video, I mean, you see these pictures of people and, you know, drug addicts, you know, just out of their minds or in different situations. And I don't know where all of them were taken, but you can see some signs in the background here, and you can identify it as the public transportation in Philadelphia. And then actually, I think somewhere down here, there's San Francisco, and here's Portland. How about that? And it looks like that in Portland. And not just in this one street. I mean, it looks like that a lot in Portland. So, okay. So basically, you know, we just got done voting here in the United States for more representation, right? And, you know, a change in government, the big red wave didn't occur. And basically, we got more of the same to look forward to. And I mean, one thing, it'll provide me a lot of, you know, crap to talk about for the next God knows how many years, especially here in Portland and in Oregon in general. Actually, Oregon is an awesome state, except for Portland, Salem, and Eugene, and kind of Ashland. Ashland's not so bad. It's just kind of a, yeah, I don't know. I don't live there, so I can't be too much of a judge on it. But for the most part, Oregon's a pretty damn good state. We got a lot of good things going on in the state, just not politics. I mean, you know, just not politics. A lot of other things going on great for us, but not politics. What happened to me? Did this actually, Oh yeah, it showed. Okay. I don't know. My screen's a little messed up, but okay. So I hope you all enjoyed this show for today. I have to move something around here. Yeah. And I look forward to seeing you guys on time on Wednesday. We'll see if that happens or not, but it looks like the Wi-Fi is sitting behind me. It's been working for the entire time I've been on the show. It's still doing good. I hope I don't have another failure like that. Like right before showtime, I decided to change the router. And of course, took me longer than it should. But anyway, I appreciate you guys watching the show live, downloading the podcast, catching me on Buzzsprout, Rumble, BitChute, Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts. I appreciate you taking the time to listen to the podcast, and I'll see you on Wednesday. Thank you for listening to the Redneck Dentist Podcast. Please show your support for the podcast. This podcast is not on the biggest platforms, but it is on the best free speech platforms. Until next time, remember, all bleeding eventually stops.